You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, June 8th, 2011. This is episode 187, Wells Hacker, Libraries and Books. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is your host, Martin Spriggs, Chief Technology Officer for the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, based here in Milwaukee. We're very happy you joined us. And I'm happy to have my regular podcasting buddy, Sally Draper, joining again. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. And summertime has officially arrived.
It has. We've hit June. And we're actually going to do something fun for the summer. Not that the show is never not fun, but we're doing something a little bit of a lighter fare, I guess maybe you'd call it. A more simplified version, and both you and I have a lot of travel plans over the summer. We've got Synod Convention coming up, so we felt that what could we do to lighten the load a little bit but still provide some value to our listeners?
Yep, that's right, and thanks to our good friend Jonathan Favorite, who's the staff minister at Crosswalk Lutheran Ministries out in Phoenix, Arizona. We had an idea and kind of ran with what Jonathan suggested, and that was to kind of mimic a little bit of the Life Hacker model. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that listen regularly, you've heard us mention many times Life Hacker. It's one of our favorite blogs. Martin and I both follow it. Mm-hmm. And what they basically do is give us little snippets of ways to take technology and make it better, you know, crank it up a notch, customize it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do or try to do this summer is give you our own version of Life Hacker. We're calling it Wells Hacker, real original. Mm-hmm. And each of us is going to be blogging throughout the summer and then discussing those blog posts here on the Wells Tech Podcast.
Yep. Maybe a little bit of background behind the word hacker. Hacker, I think, in general has a negative connotation. But there are also good hackers, and they call those white hats as opposed to black hat hackers. And when you see our blog post, you'll notice that we have a little white hat symbol with the words Wells Hacker on it. And that's your cue that this is part of the Wells Hacker series. White hats are the good guys. They provide good information. They work for good, not for evil. And hopefully that's what we're doing, Sally.
I appreciate you explaining that. That was a learning point for me, and I had to do a lot of searching to come up with just the right white hat mm-hmm. for that imagery. So now I know why. So.
And maybe we should start out. You know, we're going to pick one topic, and it'll be a blog post that will banter around a little bit between the two of us. But I'm sure there are other tips and pieces of information that our listeners would have and maybe be willing to share for our audience as well. So over the course of the summer, we would really enjoy hearing some of those things from you that we can share. So it's not just one each from me and Sally, but something that you found to be useful and would be helpful to share as well.
That's right. So everybody can put on that white hat and give us some hacking tips. Maybe we should get started, Martin. What's your tip this week?
Well, mine is a very basic one, but I think hopefully useful for most people, at least those people that are using Windows and are using the latest operating system, Windows 7. And it's all about Windows libraries. That was a kind of a new concept introduced in Windows 7, this concept of a library. And my blog post is called Windows Library, What's It Good For? And those of us that are using Windows 7 can simply go to Windows Explorer to get a little taste of the library. In essence, a library is much like a folder. You can store documents, all kinds of stuff in it, but there is a difference between a library in Windows terminology and a folder, and that's the fact that a library simply gathers files that are stored in different locations. So a library is kind of a superset of folders, and it brings them all together so that you can have folders scattered hither and yon. It can be both on your, it can be on your laptop or desktop machine. It can also be on a thumb drive. Those folders can be living on external hard drives. They can be on network drives. But what a library does is it allows you to collect those different locations and bring them all together to appear as one, quote-unquote, super folder, or, as Windows calls it, a library. So it's really nothing more than just a collection of folders. So to give you an example of how this might work, so if you collect pictures, you take pictures, digital pictures, as we all do, and you store those on different locations. So maybe you have some in your pictures folder or your My Pictures folder on your desktop or laptop computer. But you also have an archive of all kinds of other pictures on other different devices, let's say an external hard drive or a thumb drive. What you can do is create a library called, let's say, Pictures, and point it at all the different locations that you have those pictures stored in. And what the library allows you to do then is shows you a big view of all those files and folders regardless of their location. So you have a picture, quote-unquote, library. And that can be real handy both for searching, for organizing, for sharing, all those kinds of things. And it's really easy to do once you understand the concept. And then if you don't like what you've done and you want to delete the library, you're not deleting any of the underlying folders. All your documents and pictures are still there. You're just deleting the designation of a library that's collecting all those. So that is my initial stab at our Wells Hacker series, the very useful, in my opinion, libraries feature within Windows.
I think that was probably the very first thing that I got excited about when I finally got my Windows 7 upgrade. I'm kind of famous for storing files in a lot of places.
Uh-huh.
We have a server set up here at home, so we have the ability to share files, things like videos that we may mm-hmm. be collaborating on or photos that we want to share. And so I have things here and there spread across different things. And also I have a partition hard drive, so I, kind of split up my file storage.
Right,
right. So, yeah, being able to pull things together in the library view, it just makes it so seamless. And it takes a lot of the brain work out of me having to remember where all my files are and everything. Just see it all there combined. It's really nice.
Yep. So, Sally, that's my stab at First Wells Hacker article. Where did you go for your first one?
Well, I guess I can say I stayed with the theme because mine has a little bit to do with libraries too. But in this case, I'm talking about ebook libraries and specifically about the Kindle app and finding good ebooks to put in your Kindle app. I read an interesting article about mid-May. Amazon came out with some statistics that were kind of surprising. It says that for Amazon, at least, the sale of electronic books has overtaken the sale of printed books for the first time ever. So I see the world moving toward ebooks more and more. And this mm-hmm. is one area that I just really haven't gotten that much into. My son has a Kindle and I'm impressed with it. Actually, my husband has a Sony reader. He's had it for 4 years or more. But I just never did go there with the whole electronic books thing. But now that I have an iPad and I can actually see the screen as opposed to looking at my iPod Touch, which was a little small for me to do serious reading
right,
on.
Right.
I went and grabbed that free Kindle app, and my blog post actually has a link where you can grab a free Kindle app for whatever electronic device or for your computer. So you don't have to own a Kindle, but you can enjoy the Kindle interface on whatever electronic device you want to install it on. And then, of course, I started looking for free books because that's my favorite price point.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to see what was available out there. They have a great list of classics. I got things like Sherlock Holmes and Little Women and The Legends of King Arthur and things like that. But then I did a little bit deeper dive into the Kindle store there on the Amazon website. And you can actually access this right through the Kindle app on your device. And where I ended up, not real obviously, but eventually ended up, was on the limited time offers page. Mm. And so I have a link to that in my show, in the blog post that we'll include a link to in the show notes. And anyway, on that limited time offers page, you can find a lot of things that are basically on sale for free for a short period of time. And so I did find a good variety of summer reading there. I found a book by Seth Godin, Tales of the Revolution, True Stories of People Who Are Poking the Box and Making a Difference. And it's kind of a feedback from one of his other books and people sharing their own stories, and they've kind of compiled them into an ebook. So interesting read there. A couple of others, Who Is My Neighbor? Being a Good Samaritan in a Connected World, and then even cookbooks and romance novels. They have it all out there, and much of it for free. And I think what I'll do is just periodically make a habit of checking this limited time offers page, because I think it's going to change over time. There'll be things that go on sale and then go off sale. And so perhaps it's a good thing for you to bookmark as well and make use of in your Kindle reader.
So the limited time offers page, I'm on that now in the Kindle store, and these are not just free. These are, you know, cut priced ones as well.
But I did change the sort. There's a sort box in the upper right area, and I switched it to price low to high.
Ah, gotcha.
And when you do that sort, then all the free ones come up. And actually, it's pages and pages and pages of free ones. And I'm there right now. It looks like there's some new ones from the last time I looked. So like I said, things do change here, and you'll want to check back periodically and look for new items.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there was an RSS feed for this page where you can just get those coming into your Google Reader and keep up to date that way rather than having to go back here. So
that is a good question.
Interesting.
I'm not seeing an RSS feed, but if I find one, I'll add it to my blog post. It's a good idea.
The neat part about the whole Kindle app thing is it works across all those different platforms. Plus, it keeps your reading in sync as long as you're logged into your Kindle app. And through the Amazon login, whether you're reading on the iPad, the iPod Touch, the iPhone, the Kindle itself, or your computer, or Android too, it supports. You're always going to be right where you left off, which is kind of neat because I do have a Kindle, which I take with me for vacations and those areas where I know I'm going to be outside reading, mm-hmm. let's say on the beach or at the pool or whatever. And that's a much better reading experience than the iPad because of the glare, and it just handles light a lot better because it's that e-ink technology. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I have the iPad for indoor or for other purposes, for web surfing, email, that kind of stuff. So I can go back and forth pretty seamlessly between the two without having to worry about where I left off. And that's a very cool thing. And the fact that you don't even need a Kindle to take advantage of this is a super tip.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what else is listed out there, and maybe even I'll spend some money on some books as well. But I'm all about free if I can get it for free. So
yeah,
this was
and there's
a great
some
find for
there's
me.
Some there for pennies even. So I'm sure worth the price in many cases. So yeah, great post, Sally. We should probably note that these blogs are actually on our own personal blogs. I'm also posting them to the Synod blog page, but you're at sallydraper.com and I'm at martinspriggs.com where you can grab these and other things. Plus, we're going to aggregate, of course, as we always do, the information onto the show notes page, right?
Right. So just trying to figure out the best way to deliver this content. That's what we're going to try for now and see how it works for everyone. And we'd love to hear your feedback as to whether you're feeling like this Wells Hacker series is going to be of use to you and your own ideas, your own hacks as well.
Yep. And I'm learning a lot about WordPress in the process.
Good for you.
I had only limited touches on it, and I use Windows Live Writer to post to it, and I'm finding all kinds of other ways to do that. Obviously, you can go right to the WordPress site to do it, but you can also download iPad apps, and there's even a WordPress app that you can download. So there's lots of ways to interact with your blog. So I found it to be a pretty powerful tool.
Good. I'm a WordPress in the browser kind of gal, because I like to do a lot of finesse with my blog posts.
Yep. So it's a pretty good WYSIWYG editor there.
Right. I tried the iPad app, and it's pretty straightforward text only kind of posting.
Right.
And because of the nature of my blog structure, I need to be able to add images and put special tags around and things like that to make it all work correctly. So, but it is fun to experiment with, and who knows, over time the apps will get better and better.
Oh, for sure. Okay, we do have some community feedback this week. Sally, you wanted to share that?
Sure. First up, we heard from Pastor Steve Bauer, who's out at Faith in West Newton, Pennsylvania. And Wells Tech listeners may remember that he's an Apple guy. He joined us a couple of times to talk about Accordance, which is the Bible study software that's real popular for Mac. And Pastor Bauer actually listened recently to our Apple Day episode, and it's neat to get feedback on that episode in particular from him, since we know he's such a great Mac guy. Anyway, what he said, which ties in with my blog post, is that he's found that he's enjoying reading books on his iPhone. And he wasn't really looking for an ebook reader, but as he began to experience it on his iPhone, he's really enjoyed the iBooks app. And again, he's looking for free things to feed his reader with. And he has gone the EPUB route, and he's actually developed a web page on his blog that explains EPUB format and has links to things like the Gutenberg Project, where you can get ebooks in that EPUB format for free. So thank you very much, Pastor Bauer, for pointing us to your blog, and hopefully those who are listening will make use of that for another source for free ebooks. And then he also had a comment about our iPhone app, that Wells Online app that we recently announced. And he's excited about it, and he suggested that we add potentially the Together newsletter and the call report to the iPhone app, or to a different iPhone app or whatever. So,
For those that may have missed it, we did recently release or had approved our Wells Online iPhone app, which provides quick access to all our podcasts, not just Wells Tech, but the devotional podcast Through the Bible in 3 Year and Military podcast, a series of videos that are available through streams, and the daily devotion in written form, Through the Bible in written form, as well as Q&A, which is always popular. And since we received this email from Steve, and again, thanks, Steve, for sharing that with us, I did do a little bit of work trying to get the call report and the Together newsletter in the app, and it looks like that is definitely possible and maybe forthcoming. I can't make any promises because Apple has some control over what gets updated, etc., but I'm hoping that very soon that will be available in the iPhone and Android apps.
Wow, that's great. I'd love to get the call report that way. Mm-hmm. And Together's always loaded with great news.
So yep.
Good suggestions. Thank you. And then we also had some conversation on the Wells Tech listserv, and this was generated from Carl Hensland, who teaches at St. Mark's, I believe in the Green Bay area. And he wrote to tell us that there's been a change in how Microsoft handles licensing for school technology. And he included some links in his post where you can read more about it. He says, you need to have 5 teachers to qualify, as far as I can tell. But I think if you paid for the 5, it'd still be cheaper than buying the licenses. So even if you don't have 5 teachers, it might be worth buying the 5 seats or whatever are required. So check out the links that we included in the show notes to that. There was a follow-up email from Glenn Bode talking about other pricing options as well. So good information being shared there on the Wells Tech listserv.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. Well, Sally, that is going to about do it for this week. We look forward to another series of Wells Hacker articles next week, and I am looking at Google Reader as my Wells Hacker tip, and you're looking at photos.
Yep, those massive collections of digital images mm-hmm. and how to wrap your brain around organizing them. Right. Quick tips for that.
So tune in next week for that. And send us that feedback because we would love to talk about your Wells Hacker tips and tricks as well. Let's close the show with the music of Corbin Creek from their album Could It Be Me, their song Psalm 46. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
The Lord of hosts. God of Jacob is our stronghold. Jacob is our stronghold. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.